Okay, I get it. I get it. The iPhone has favorites. We know. We knew, at least, and then lost it somewhere in the discussion. I'm just saying there's no way to do the single push thing when you push down a phone number on the thing with one hand the way I do with my current phone. That's all we were saying. And then we forgot that the iPhone already has favorites. Today is May 18th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast. I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
So thank you, of course, for your emails and comments in the page on this subject. We certainly appreciate it, and keep us honest. For anyone who thought that keeping their nest egg in Apple stock was a surefire way to retire rich, this week must have been hair-raising. Let this be a listen to us all. Stocks are serious business, and they will always be a big gamble. And in this week's Context Machine, we have a discussion of the case of the faked product delay.
And on Monday, we ran an article about how Apple stock had been climbing steadily for some time, and it actually broke $109 that day after closing at $108.74 on last Friday. Now, the company's strong performance over the past few quarters has had analysts predicting continued growth for the foreseeable future. Fueling investor confidence was Apple's strong lineup of coming products, most notably the iPhone, which is a combination iPod and smartphone, and macOS 10.5 or Leopard, which is the successor to Apple's current Mac operating system. And Apple is also widely expected to update the iPod sometime in the fall.
Then came the cold shower. Apple stock took a wild ride on Wednesday when a leaked memo claimed that the iPhone would be delayed until October and macOS 10.5 wouldn't ship until January of 2008. Once the memo appeared on Engadget late in the morning, the Mac and iPod maker's stock dropped about 3 points almost immediately in a trading frenzy. Apple reacted quickly and issued a statement saying that the iPhone and Leopard are both still on track. The iPhone will ship at the end of June, and Leopard will ship in October. Engadget ran a retraction once it had Apple's real statement, and then the company's stock began to stabilize. Thing is, the email Engadget based its original article on was actually distributed through Apple's internal email system. How someone was able to create an internal email that looked legitimate to Apple employees is still unclear, and presumably of great concern to Apple. Investors, particularly those who sold stock in the initial reaction, have their own reasons for concern and are asking for an SEC investigation. Snipes, a TMO forum member, wrote, "The people who really got nailed are the ones that had conservative stops in, and the ones who profited were the crooks that had buy stops." Apple stock never fully recovered on Wednesday and closed down just a little bit at $107.34.
Now, by close on Thursday, Apple stock had recovered and was selling at $109.44. While the stock started to climb on Wednesday after Apple confirmed that the email was fake, it began to climb even quicker once word surfaced that Apple had finally received FCC approval on the iPhone, which allows product development to stay on schedule for the late June release.
The stock continued to rise throughout the end of the week and topped $110 late yesterday, that's Friday morning, and Apple closed this week at $110.02. Its market capitalization at the end of the week was about $95.1 billion U.S., and its P.E. ratio was 34.81. Okay, that's a mouthful of numbers and sequence of events.
Indeed.
But I wanted to run through that just because I suspect for a lot of people that story might not sound all that interesting. I can understand how a lot of folks, even folks that own Apple stock or follow it very closely, might say, this doesn't seem like that big a deal. You know, it was a $6 swing. It dropped from about 107 or 8 or 9 down to about 104 and then popped up to 110. Not that big a deal, right? I mean, it's 5-6%. It's a lot for a short period of time, but not a huge deal. Why is this a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal for all the people that were buying and selling while this happened. Because there was a lot of people that ultimately lost money because they were selling lower than they had bought, or they were betting that the stock was going to go higher, and then all of a sudden it starts dropping. So that was a problem for those people. For people with a long-term investment, it was something to watch. But you know, if you're not planning on selling your stock this week, it's something you're holding on to for the next few years. Not as big an issue, except that the stock moved dramatically in price because of this one leaked memo. And how did that happen? I mean, that's the big thing, because someone managed to spoof Apple employees, and then they were able to spoof the media. And when the media ran the story, everyone freaked and started dumping stock. And that cost people a lot of money.
All right, so we'll talk a little bit about the implications in terms of the fragility of the stock price in a second. Just to give people an idea of some of the circumstances, this drop, it had pretty much, I mean, we talked about how it took about the rest of the week to get up to where it had been on Monday, but it was pretty much where it was right before this drop. It was at about $107. It was back up to $107 within about half an hour. So the real crisis only happened over about 30 minutes. To give people an idea of how much chaos was involved there, and some people playing along at home might say, well, how much money can you really lose in 30 minutes or even in a couple minutes? At the bottom, yeah, seriously, at the bottom of that trough, if you go to Google Finance or anywhere else and look at how low it got down to about $104 or $104.50. And in a two-minute window, there were 1.4 million trades. That was the volume in that two-minute window. So a ton of people were exchanging stock just in that moment. And it was basically chaos. People were thinking, oh, there's this big change in the circumstances for Apple. We've got to adjust our own investment plans. Talk a little bit about, there's this comment that Snipe has made about conservative stop loss bids. Explain to folks what stop loss bids are.
Okay, a stop loss bid means that, and I'm probably going to get this backwards because I always do. A stop-loss bid is a bid that you have to sell stock if it drops to a certain point, and then it happens automatically. Did I get it backwards?
That sounds right to me. And
okay,
then,
good.
This is a very astute comment, and it's absolutely right. There are folks, a lot of times people will say, well, you know, I want to hold on to this stock. I want to continue to own it, because I think it's going to go up, but I'm afraid that the price might drop. And so if it drops more than 5% or more than 10%, I'm just going to say to my broker, put in a bid for 5% or 10% below whatever the price is at any given point in time. So if there's a sudden drop, it'll sell the stock.
Right.
And in this case, those people got hosed, right?
Yeah, every single one of them, because their stock sold automatically in this very narrow window, and it could have happened before they even knew that this memo, supposed memo, had been leaked out. And by the time they hear about the memo, their money's gone.
And well, in a sense, their money's back, right? They've got cash now for this stock, but they don't have the stock anymore, and the stock jumps up back to 110 where it was before within a couple days, and they can't get any further upside. And
yeah,
so we were talking,
that's right.
Before we started, we were talking about how much money did people lose. When you look at it that way, people's losses can be, in effect, infinite, right? Because they lost their stock, and so however high the price goes, that's money that they could have made if they hadn't sold their stock.
Right. And in the grand scheme of things, an infinite amount of money, I think that counts as a lot.
All right. Let's talk about the other side of this. We're talking about people losing money, and Snipe has also made this comment about people making money. Describe for us a scenario of people making money off of this situation.
Okay, let's say you're someone that has figured out how to manipulate the market. So you plant a piece of information that's going to cause people to sell their stock, and the price is going to start dropping quickly. Because you know about this in advance, you can set something up so that when the stock drops to a certain level, you start buying, knowing full well that it's going to recover when everyone realizes that this bit of information is false. So all these people that are potentially losing money because their stocks were selling automatically when it hit, like, we'll say $105 or something. These other people are now picking up that stock at that lower price, knowing that in a few days, most likely the value is going to be back up again. And so now they're making money off of the stock by artificially manipulating the market. That's a problem.
There's another version of this that you can imagine. And I'll describe this quickly for folks that haven't heard of it. There's a strategy called selling short, where you begin a transaction by saying you don't own any stock in the company, and you say to someone else, "I will sell you 100 shares of Apple stock at $110," but you don't have it. So you're basically promising them that you'll give them 100 shares of stock, and they've given you money for that amount, for that price, the price that you're selling them at. And then you wait, and sometime later you buy shares. And the reason you would do that is if you expect the price of the stock to drop. Then you say, "Oh, well, later on I'll buy the stock. It'll be at a lower price, and I will have already sold it to this other person at a higher price. So I bought low and I sold high." Well, that's great. It's called selling short, and it is extremely risky. This is another situation where your losses can be infinite, right? Because if you sell someone the shares and then the stock price starts to go up, you're hosed, right? The
You're
stock price
very
can
hosed, right.
go up infinitely. Whereas if you just bought the stock, the worst you can do is that the price of the stock drops to zero. So you can only lose the money you put in.
Right.
So one other thing I can imagine is that someone was trying to sell short during this period of time.
So now we've both been talking about something which is very interesting, which is the theory that someone seeded this information so that they could manipulate the market to their advantage. And if that really is the case, and keep in mind, we're speculating here, we have no information, insider information, that tells us that's really what happened. But if that is the case, someone went to a lot of trouble to manipulate Apple's stock, and that's a federal crime. That's a bad thing.
Yeah, and it is, I mean, it is difficult to conceive of a situation. I mean, what other company out there would be subject to this kind of treatment? I mean, what other company can you imagine where someone would go to all this trouble to release a piece of a fake memo saying, "Oh, we're delaying the release of these two big products"? I mean, if that happened to GM or to Toyota, maybe people would say, "Oh, that really sucks." But the idea that it would cause this kind of a sudden tremor around the company and the stock, that seems very unusual to me.
Well, I think we had a perfect storm, so to speak. We have two products that are highly anticipated, and one of them has already been delayed slightly. They're both high-profile products, and with iPhone, I mean, it's the iPhone. Everyone knows about it, and everyone's excited because it's the new product that's supposed to change the cell phone industry. With Leopard, this is the product that everyone's been excited to see because it's the next generation of Mac OS X. Windows Vista has already come out. Everyone's expecting Leopard to be a better product. There's a lot of hype around both of these very visible products. And because of the ease of getting media coverage for Apple, you have that nice little piece in the puzzle as well. So someone that's very savvy, assuming this is what happened, someone that's very savvy could find a place where they could play the media to get their bogus information out, and everyone's already watching, and then the stock starts to drop.
And it is difficult to imagine that someone would go to all that trouble and not realize that it would affect the stock price.
Right. unless it was, let's say there's a disgruntled employee that's not too bright. And so they're on their way out the door and they want to get one last little joke dig in on everyone. And so they spoof an email. And by spoof, I mean they make an email appear as if it came from someplace it did not. They send out this email internally to Apple. It looks like a legitimate email from Apple corporate, and someone inside leaks it out. The person that sent the original email doesn't realize the overall implications. They're just trying to pull a little prank on their way out the door.
And
that
we'll
would,
see.
That would be a bad thing.
It would be quite astonishing if it happened.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, take back the previous comment. I can now, having had you describe the situation of highly anticipated products, of course you can imagine something like Sony or Nintendo before the release of a new console, or Microsoft, if
sure.
they stood up and said, oh, we've delayed this product by 6 months or 8 months. That does have
okay,
an impact
actually,
on stock.
In the case of Microsoft, I think you're wrong. If they delay a product, everyone goes, of course you did.
Of course. Right.
Right.
Let's talk about one other thing here. Let's talk about the fragility of Apple stock. You mentioned before that there was this little piece of information, fundamentally little piece of information. And sure, it has a lot to do with the visibility of the products and everything else. Is there an indication here that anything could shatter the value of Apple stock? Is Apple's stock price really fragile right now?
You know, I think any company that's in the position Apple is in has more to lose, in essence. Their stock will be more fragile than other companies because they're under the media microscope right now. So sure, Apple stock is a little more fragile than I would like right now. I say this as if I'm some financial analyst. But next week, next month, next year, it will be someone else's stock that's in the same position. So yeah, they are a little fragile right now, but it's not like this is something that's unique to Apple.
I want to give listeners one slightly more rigorous way than our own pontification of checking this stuff out. The piece of information that analysts often use to discuss how inflated a stock is, or how much hope rather than actual value is built into the price of a stock, is this thing called a PE ratio. That's price to earnings ratio. So you take the price of the stock and you divide out the earnings per share, and you end up with this ratio. And it is essentially always greater than one, because you buy the stock with the hope that in the future the company will do better than it has done in the past. And so you expect the earnings later to be higher than they are now, and so you're willing to pay more for the stock. Apple's PE has traditionally been pretty high, and I think there were times maybe a year or two ago where it was as high as about 40. Right now, as I said before, its PE ratio is 34 or almost 35. Google's, to give you something to compare it against, is 42, roughly. Dell's is about 22.5. GE, General Electric, is at about 18. Walmart, which has a very solid track record, has a PE of 17. And Toyota, another very successful company that's had great press recently, they recently surpassed GM as the top automaker in the world, has a PE of about 14.5. So some numbers to take home and use to compare this. Apple has a very high PE ratio. That's one indication that it's fragile. And we'll see what happens. It'll be very interesting. They're certainly making money.
They are. Okay, now one other thing we should mention out of all this is that this whole thing started when this supposed leaked memo made its way to a news source and then was run. And it looks like the news source really did take some effort to try and verify the story. When they couldn't, they went ahead and ran with it. It's important to remember that the media has a responsibility to try and verify as much information as they can before they run a story. And this is a really good example of what happens when the story runs, it's fake, and has to be retracted later.
Yeah. Now, in fairness, Engadget was very explicit in saying, look, this email did go through Apple's internal system. We know that. Which is a pretty good indication that it's legit. But at the same time, you can say, well, why didn't they just go and talk to the Apple PR people and say, hey, we just saw this email that went through your system. Is this legit? And presumably, one of the reasons they didn't do that is because Apple never responds to questions like that.
Yeah, that's true. Apple, they don't respond to a lot of media inquiries like that. Now, the other thing that fits in timing-wise, when all of this went down, it was before business hours for Apple PR. So it would have been very difficult to get a response from a company that doesn't have anyone at the phone at that hour.
Yeah, so this is around noon Eastern Standard Time, which is 9 o'clock in San Francisco.
Right, and that's one of the factors that's leading into speculation that this was a planned event to manipulate Apple stock.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that'll be that on this discussion. Of course, if you have comments about this or if you have thoughts, send us an email, roundup@macobserver.com. Quite a fascinating little episode. So if all of your life savings are in Apple stock right now, you might want to think that through.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit.
Okay, and we'll finish up this week with a quick product roundup. And Belkin announced its new network USB hub on Tuesday. The hub allows multiple computers on a local network to share USB devices without requiring individual network stations to activate sharing. So it's a little mini network hub just for your peripherals. The network USB hub includes an Ethernet port and five USB 2.0 ports. It supports most USB devices and supports accessing multiple devices at the same time, meaning you can have two computers accessing two different devices at the same time. The Belkin network USB hub is priced at $130, and it will be available in June. But Mac users, we have to wait until September before drivers are available for us.
Easy Gear announced its new line of easy skin cases for Apple's iPhone on Wednesday. The silicone cases offer access to all of the iPhone's ports, a protective flap for the dock port, and include a transparent screen protector that does not interfere with the touch screen, we assume. The easy skin case for the iPhone will be available in June. Pricing information is not yet available. Fortunately, neither is the iPhone.
And MCE Technologies on Monday announced the immediate availability of its MobileStar performance hard drive upgrades for Apple's MacBook and MacBook Pro laptops. The drives are available in capacities ranging from 100 gigabytes on up to 250 gigabytes and are priced from $130 on up to $280. They'll be available June 1st.
And Blue Banana Software announced the immediate availability of Project Calculator 2.0 on Monday. The new version of the Project Timer application added the ability to import customer contact information from address book. It improved project filtering and searches and added additional report export options. Project Calculator 2.0 is available for download at the Blue Banana Software website and is priced at $15.
And Apple updated its MacBook lineup on Tuesday. The new MacBooks look the same, but they have faster processors. They feature 2.0 gigahertz or 2.16 gigahertz Core 2 Duo processors. They also ship with more RAM and bigger hard drives than the models they replace. Prices remain the same at $1,300 and $1,500.
And finally this week, Bob Levitis reviewed the Crumpler School Him laptop. Laptop case.
And you know, I'll jump on the correction before our listeners do it for us. It was actually Brian Chafin that reviewed the Crumpler. And with that, that's all the news. Thanks for listening to Apple Weekly Report.
Our content is still written by the same people The bandwidth is from the same folks, and the bass is still by Boom for TMO. That's all I've got.
And stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone, we'll see you online.